Chapter 10. The Cold. The more north we sailed, the colder it got. August felt like late October, not summer. For weeks, the barge sailed up the Ungara River. After we left the barge, we rode for days in the back of black trucks that were hidden under thick forests. I saw no other humans. Where were they taking us? We ate everything that was given to us, and we were happy not to be working. The trucks arrived at Ust-Kut on the River Lena. After many more weeks, we left Ust-Kut on another barge, and finally we passed Kurensk. "We've crossed into the Arctic Circle," said the gray-haired man. "What?" said Jonas, shocked. "How?" "That is correct," said the tall man. "We'll go to the end of the river and then get on huge ships to America." The barge stopped in Bulun and Stalbay in the Arctic. We watched as large groups were taken off the barge and left standing on the beach. We sailed on with just 300 of us left on the barge. In late August, we reached the end of the river.
"Davai!"
shouted the officers, hitting us with their guns.
"They're going to kill us," said the bald man. "They've taken us all this way to kill us."
"Hurry!"
the officers shouted. "Hurry where?" said Mother. "There's nothing here." She was right. There was nothing there, just dirt. There were no trees or grass. Nobody lived there. It was just us. I grabbed my suitcase and looked around. The NKVD were walking toward two buildings behind some trees. We all followed.
"Where do you think you're going?"
an officer shouted. "To the buildings," said Mother.
"Those are for the officers."
"And where should we stay?" asked Mother. "Where is the village?"
"This is the village,"
the officer said, smiling and lifting his arms wide.
"It's all yours."
"I don't understand," said Mother.
"Do you not like it?"
the officer said.
"Do you think you're too good for this? You're a disgusting pig, and pigs sleep in the dirt. But before you sleep, you have to build a fish and bread hut, and you must collect wood from the barge."
The bald man pointed to a sign. Trofimovsk, the very top of the Arctic Circle. Near the North Pole. We were clearly not going to America.
"We can't stay here," said Mother. "They must be moving us somewhere else."
"To the Soviets, we are nothing," the gray-haired man said.
"Stop it! Stop talking!"
screamed Yanina's mother.
"Be quiet," said Miss Grebus. "We don't want the officers to hear us."
"Mother, what's wrong?"
asked Yanina. Her mother continued to scream. She had said nothing for most of the journey, but now we could not make her stop.
"I can't do this! I won't die here!"
she screamed. Suddenly, the woman grabbed Yanina and tried to strangle her. Her hands closed around her neck. Yanina could not breathe and tried to break free. Then Mother jumped on Yanina's mother and pulled her fingers from her daughter's neck. Yanina began to cry loudly.
"I'm so sorry,"
cried her mother. She turned her back to us and then began strangling herself, until Miss Grebus hit her across the face, while the gray-haired man grabbed her arms.
"What's wrong with you?" said the bald man.
If you want to kill yourself, do it in private.
You're going to be fine, said Mother, touching the woman's dirty hair. We're all going to be fine. I promise. The next day, the NKVD shouted at us to work. My neck hurt from sleeping on my suitcase. Jonas and Mother had slept under an old fishing boat. I had only slept for a few hours. I spent the night writing to Andrews, telling him that we were in Trofimovsk, but I had nowhere to send the letter. The NKVD separated us into 25 groups. We were group number 11. Some of us had to build buildings for the NKVD, while others, like Jonas, were sent fishing or told to build our own huts. We were not allowed to use the wood for the NKVD buildings and could only use things that had come from the sea. I was very hungry and could not wait for Jonas to return with the fish. But he returned wet and cold, and his hands were empty. "Where are the fish?" I asked. "The officers say that we're not allowed to keep the fish, and that we must give it to the NKVD. What will we eat?" I asked. "Bread rations," he replied. It took us a week to collect enough wood to build the hut. "We must finish before the first snow comes. If we don't, we'll freeze and die," the gray-haired man said. I picked up large stones and wood that came from the sea. Were we really going to build a hut from stones and wood? And how would we keep warm? In the Arctic winter, the sun did not rise from November to March. We would surely die. I saw a woman digging up grass with her hands and using it to fill the holes between the stones. Janina and I did the same. We worked for another week until we were finished. It did not look like a hut. It looked like something a child would make in the dirt. The men finished building the bread and fish factories and a building for the NKVD to sleep in. My stomach burned because I was starving. I drew pictures of food, chicken, apples, and cakes. The day after we finished our hut, Janina came running toward me.
"Lina, there's a ship! There's a ship coming!"
Within seconds, the NKVD were pointing their guns in our faces and ordering everybody into their huts.
"Where's Jonas?" Mother shouted. "Lina, where is Jonas?"
"He was sent to fish," I said.
"Davai!"
screamed one of the officers, pushing us into the hut.
"Jonas!"
shouted Mother.
"He's coming, Elena,"
said the gray-haired man, running toward us.
"I saw him behind me."
When Jonas arrived, he was breathing hard from running.
"Mother, there's a ship, and it has an American flag," he shouted. "The Americans have arrived. They've arrived," said the tall man.
"Will the Americans fight the NKVD?"
asked Janina.
"Stupid girl," said the bald man. "The Americans are helping the NKVD.
The NKVD are hiding us," said Mother. "The officers don't want the Americans to see us and know what they're doing to us. Do you think that we should run out so that the Americans can see us?" I asked.
"The NKVD will shoot you," said the bald man.
"Stay inside," said Mother.
"Do you understand me?"
She was right. The Soviets were hiding us from the Americans. We were told to stay in our huts for 5 hours while the American ship unpacked. As soon as the ship sailed away, the NKVD came screaming at us to get to work. The Americans had brought guns, wood, clothes and food, and we needed to move it. Maybe the Americans were helping the Soviets. I wanted to wave my arms and scream for help as the ship sailed away, but I was too scared. That evening, Jonas found a large metal can on the edge of the Laptev Sea and rolled it up to our hut. "We can use it for a stove," Jonas said, smiling. The men cheered. "Good work, my love," said Mother.
"I'm freezing,"
said Janina as she watched the men build the stove.
"Well, go and find some wood to burn then," said the bald man.
"Where can I find it?"
she asked.
"You can steal it from the NKVD building," he replied.
"Don't tell her to steal it," I said. "I'll go and find some."
"I'll come with you," said Jonas.
"Mother?" I thought she would be worried.
"Hmm?"
she said.
"Jonas and I are going to look for wood."
"All right, love," she said softly.
"Is Mother okay?" I asked Jonas as we walked out of our hut.
"She seems confused," said Jonas. I stopped.
"Jonas, have you seen Mother eat? She's always giving us bread," I said.
"Yesterday she gave us bread. She said it was extra rations that she had got."
"Do you think she's giving us her rations?"
"Yes," I said.
The wind blew coldly as we walked toward the NKVD building.
"Vilkas!"
It was Kretzky. He was wearing a long wool coat.
"What are you doing?"
"Looking for wood to burn," said Jonas.
Kretzky thought for a moment. Then he reached into a bag and threw some wood at our feet. He walked away before we could say anything. On September 26, the first snowstorm arrived. It lasted 2 days, and we all sat together to keep warm. We stole shovels from the NKVD to dig a path out from the front door so that we could collect our rations from the bread hut. I boiled snow for drinking water, and Jonas made Mother eat. When the storm ended, the NKVD shouted at us to get back to work. Jonas and I walked past another hut that was completely covered in snow.
"No!"
cried a woman outside. Her fingers were covered in blood.
"They built their door so it opened out. When it snowed, they could not get out,"
an officer said, laughing.
"Four of them are dead in there. Disgusting pigs."
The NKVD separated us into groups to find wood for them. The bald man was in my group.
"I can't walk with my bad leg," he complained. "Give me your gloves."
"No, it's freezing," I said.
"Just for a few minutes. You can put your hands in your pockets," the bald man said.
"No," I said again.
"If you give me your gloves, I'll tell you something," he said. "Something that you'll want to know."
"What would I want to know from you?" I asked.
"Just give me your gloves, and I'll tell you why you were deported from your home in Lithuania."
I stopped and stared at him while he took the gloves from my hands.
"So," I said,
"do you know Patras Vilkas?"
he asked. Patras Vilkas was my father's brother and my cousin Joanna's father.
"Yes," I said, "he's my uncle."
"Well, that's why you're here," he said. "Your mother knows. She just hasn't told you."
"What do you mean?" I asked.
Your uncle escaped from Lithuania before you were deported.
You're lying, I said.
Am I? Your aunt's name was German before she married. So your uncle's family escaped, probably repatriated through Germany.
He said, smiling.
Your father helped them, so that's why you're here. Your cousin is probably having the best time in America right now.
What was he saying? Joanna escaped and went to America? How could that be possible? Joanna was free, and because of that, I was not.